Hi, everyone. Do you hear me well? Good. So I'm Limor, and I'm leading the Partner Catalyst team in Israel. I'm really happy to be here today and tell you and share with you one of my favorite projects. So I'll start by introducing our partner and the problem and the challenge that they had and how we teamed up to solve it together. So Miraculous is our partner. This is a startup that develops a simple and affordable blood test to detect diseases, cancer, and other diseases at very early stage, even before there are any clinical symptoms. And they develop this device. And this device really detects and reports the presence of microRNAs in a blood sample. And those microRNAs are small molecules that regulate our gene expression. So those microRNAs regulate gene expression, and gene expression is really the fundamental level where a genotype becomes a phenotype. That is an observable trait. And so the fact that a person has a gene that, or a gene mutation that is correlated with a disease does not mean that they actually have the disease, right? It means that they have some likelihood to have the disease. And so in the world of diagnosis, when we are trying to diagnose or detect a disease, we really want to know whether those genes actually expressed. And for that, we have those microRNAs, those small biomarkers in the blood that can indicate that at very early stage. But how do we know? Let's say that we use the blood test, this device that I showed you earlier, and we detected that there are some several specific microRNAs present in the blood. How do we know which genes they regulate? How do we know which diseases are correlated with them? And so all this information about genes and microRNAs and diseases actually present in the National Center for Biomedical Information. There are thousands of research papers since the 90s. And they document all the relationship that has been found, all the correlation that has been found. However, if we have a microRNA that we found in a blood sample, and we want to know all the genes that are regulated by this microRNA, or all the diseases that are correlated with it, we will have to go through a hard process of searching these documents and reading, clicking one by one, until we find all the information that we have. And so we teamed up with Miraculous to really scan all those public documents, all those public research papers, and build a graph of relationship between our entities, a graph that represents all the genes that are regulated by the microRNAs and the disease that are correlated with it. How we did it? We developed a classifier that identifies those relations. And I will explain how we did it. So this problem of taking a corpus of documents and building a graph of relation of entity relation is called entity relation extraction. So in case you are looking for the reference, this is how this problem formally called. And our work, the work that we did with Miraculous, is really powering the backend of the Loom tool that they developed. They are using the Loom tool themselves, but also they also made it available online for other researchers. And this is really a tool where you can visually explore all the relationship between those microRNAs, genes, and entities. And you can click on a specific microRNA and find all the related entities. You can even find all the sentences that based upon which we decided that those entities are related and track back, link back to the original paper on NCBI. So before I'm describing the solution, let me formally describe the problem. And this is the problem of building an entity relation classifier. And in the formal definition of our problem, I'll just use microRNAs and genes, but the same approach applies for microRNAs and other diseases. Okay, so given a sentence which contains a microRNA M and a gene G, we want our classifier to determine whether, based on this specific sentence, whether this specific sentence indicates that those two entities are related, that M and G are related. So let's take the following example. And this sentence, the highlighted sentence, says that the regulation of ZEB2, which is a gene, by microRNA 132 was confirmed. We would like our classifier to be able to take this sentence and give it a high score, which means that those two entities, the gene ZEB2 and microRNA 132, are in fact related. And again, if you will go and look for the microRNA 132 in the Loom tool, you will actually see that the ZEB2 appears in the list of all connected genes to this specific microRNA. However, look at this highlighted sentence. And this one says that the biological effects of microRNA 132 were assessed in CRC cell, which is cancer, a cell, type of a cancer cell. And all this sentence says is that those two entities, or the relationship between them, was assessed. They were assessed together. It doesn't say anything whether they are actually related. In this case, we would like a classifier to give it a low score, saying that this specific sentence does not indicate anything, does not say that they are actually related. We're good so far? Good. Great. So let me walk you through our solution. And I'll walk you through the process of how we prepare the data for training, how we extracted our feature, and how we trained and evaluated our model, our machine learning model, our machine learning classifier. So we started with all the documents of NCBI, and the first things we did, it was to break the sentences, break all the sentences from the research papers, and then extract the domain entities that we have, genes, microRNAs, and diseases. And then we kind of filtered out all the sentences that did not contain any of our entities, any pair of entities. And we extract and we filter out those sentences. And now we have a lot of sentences from all those research papers that contains our entities, contains microRNAs and genes. And the next step would be to label it, to label each sentence, whether it's a positive example or a negative one, so that we can train our algorithm, can train our machine learning model. However, we did not have any label data, and solutions like Mechanical Turk and other Mechanical Turk-like solutions weren't suitable in our case, because we really needed domain expertise to understand what the sentence means and apply the relevant label or tag it with the relevant label. And so we had to come up with a different approach. And of course, we had thousands of sentences. We couldn't, it would take us a long time, too long, to actually find people who have the domain expertise and that can label those sentences. So what we did is we used an approach that is called distant supervision. So let's take a look at what distant supervision is. Distant supervision is the ability to create labeled data based on combination of two things. On one hand, we had our sentences that included all the pairs of entities, the microRNAs and the genes. On the other hand, we had a curated database of known relations. Now, one would probably ask, so why can't you just use this curated database of known relation and build a graph on top of it? And the answer is that it has only some of the relations, some of the known relation. It's curated by researchers that didn't go through all the documents on NCBI, but only on a selected set of documents. And so it's partial. And in addition, it is not frequently updated. So we don't have fresh knowledge of what are the relations at any given time. And so how do we label the data? We label the data through aligning those two sources. And aligning means that every sentence that we have with a pair of a gene and a microRNA, we will label it as a positive example if they are known to be related according to our curated database. Otherwise, we will label it as not related or non-positive example. So now we have labeled data set. And I'm going to go back to our process of preparing our training data. So after we had our labels, we're not done yet. We still have some more processing to do. And the next thing we do is entity replacement. We are taking each one of our entities and replace it with a marker that represents its type. So microRNA 335, we would replace it with some entity M marker. It's just a placeholder. And the same goes for BRCA1, which is a gene. We will replace it with an entity G marker. And the reason we do it is because what we are trying to learn here is how do we express a relationship between a gene and a microRNA. The specific type does not matter. We just want to focus on the different ways to express this relation. Sorry. So if we have more than two entities, we will just replace each pair at a time and use some neutral marker for the other entities, because sometimes sentences will include more than two entities. The next step would be trimming our data. So sentences in research papers tend to be very long, and we really wanted to focus on the part that described the relationship between the entities. So we wanted to trim our sentences and kind of get rid of some prefix of the data and some suffix of the data. But we experimented with how do we cut this? How do we trim? Do we just start with the first entity and the last entity and get rid of everything before and after? And we experimented with different sizes, and we got the best results when we kept three words before the first appearance of an entity and three words after, and then get rid of the rest. And this way, we could focus on only on the sections that really represents the relation, but sometimes words before the entities can actually still be part of this representation. And then the next step are really the classic, very common ways of preparing our data for entity extraction. So it's just cleaning the data. Cleaning the data, tokenizing the data, stemming, which is really transforming the words into their root in their canonical form, and then normalizing the data, which in our case was just simply lowercasing everything. So we now have labeled data. It is ready for feature extraction. Let's see which features we kind of experimented with. And so we started with bag of words. Bag of words is a very basic feature when you're doing natural language processing. Think about all your words, your canonical words in a corpus, as a huge array. And bag of words is really the frequency of each word in your sentence. And so we're pretty much counting the frequency of the appearances of each word in the sentence and update an array, this very large array, to represent it in relation to our corpus. And you can use frequency of one word. In this case, we will call it bag of words with 1 gram. Or you can use you can actually measure the frequency of two consecutive words, and each two consecutive words will become a phrase, and this would be 2 gram and 3 gram and so on. The next step, I'm kind of moving everything really quickly, sorry. So the next step is really syntactic base features. We started with part of speech tagging. We added part of speech tagging, which is really grammatically tagging the words into whether they are adjectives, verbs, nouns, and so on. And dependency parse tree, which is grammatically tagging the relation between the words in our sentence. The next type of feature is called word embedding. Word embedding is a really interesting feature when doing NLP. And think about word embedding as a way to represent each word as a multidimensional vector in a way that words that are related to each other or oftenly appear together will have a vector representation that is relatively close to one another. The distance between them is relatively small. And so interesting stuff happens when you use word embeddings. And so if, for example, you take a vector representation of the word king minus man plus woman, you'll get the vector representation of queen. The same goes for if you'll take Paris minus France plus Spain, you'll get Madrid. So this is a common feature, and it's a fun feature to see that those operation are actually working and make sense. And we had all those features, but what we really wanted to experiment is which features we actually want to use. And we built a script which pretty much created a training set that is for every combination of features here. Every combination was a different data set, and we train different logistic regression models and evaluated the F1 score per each combination so that we can find the best one. So let me share with you the results. So our final results shows that we got 87% accuracy just by using bag of words with 1 to 3 grams. And just adding part of speech tagging or word embedding didn't lift any of the performance, didn't add any accuracy to our model. At the bottom, we can see that word embedding and part of speech tagging by themselves performed really bad, only 62 and 65%. And at first, when we saw the result, we thought, well, we were kind of surprised because we had high hopes that word embedding will work. But when thinking about it, it actually makes sense. And the reason it makes sense is because when you are narrowing down your problem to a specific domain and you're trying to extract a relation between entities, there are only a few ways to describe that those two entities are related, right? How many ways could there be? And all those ways are really captured by bag of words with the different sizes that we've tried, 1, 2, 3. And so you can find all the resources online, and everything I just showed, you'll find available on our code story repository. It will link to our GitHub account. There will be a Jupyter notebook where you can just use it and walk through it. And I will also really, I would like to recommend you to check out YouTube and search for a TED Talk by Jorge Soto. He's the CDO of Miraculous. And this is when I watched this video for the first time, I was really inspired. And I just, kind of contacted them and told them, hey, guys, do you have any interesting problem that you would like us to help you solving? And this is how this whole project started. So what we were able to do is really take years of research since the 90s. At the 90s, microRNAs were really discovered. So we were able to take years of research that are available online but are not really, but are hard to access, and make it available not just for Miraculous but also for other researchers, making it available to solve actual real-life problem that could actually save people life. And on a final note, I would say, this is just really one example where we took data, we took research, we took a lot of knowledge that is out there and make it accessible to solve, meaningful problems. And think about what we've been doing for the past decades. We've been collecting huge amount of data, pretty much documenting all the knowledge, everything we know about this universe, and we documented it on the internet. And now we are kind of moving from the information age to the intelligence age, where with artificial intelligence, we can really make sense of it all. We can really understand it, make it available to solve real-life problems. And so far, the internet has been mostly our kind of collective memory. But with artificial intelligence, I believe that it will become our collective brain. Thank you.